And welcome to The Freaking Awesome. I'm Benjamin Abaya, and this is where we discuss the things we watched, listened, played, and read throughout the week. It's Monday, September 30th, 2024. It is International Podcast Day. So for those who don't know, it used to be National Podcast Day, where the U.S. celebrated today, but they made it international now. Anyway, you could find him and his partner on the YouTube series Date Night, and he's done some solo missions on Apex Legends, and probably you can find him also replaying the Resident Evil series. Please welcome my brother, John Abaya.
Hey, everyone. The other day was September 28th, everyone. And if you're a Resident Evil fan, you know that what that means.
Can you let us know what that means?
On September 28th, it's if you ever played Resident Evil 3 or the original Resident Evil Nemesis, it's the day after like the outbreak of Raccoon City.
Oh,
it starts off with Jill like saying September 28th, daylight. The monsters have overtaken the city. Somehow, I'm still alive. And then shows it's in both remake and the original one. But it's her that whole, do you know what's Resident Evil 3?
No, I do not know.
So one day, it's that night of, like, you know, the 24 hours of that thing. So you know how, like, Leon's doing his own thing, Resident Evil 2?
Yes.
This is her story, Jill Valentine's story. And then right before the city gets blown up, this is literally what she was doing before.
Oh, prior to entering the city.
She was getting chased by Nemesis the whole time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That's why that Nemesis is part
that's
of
why it's called Resident Evil 3 Nemesis.
Yes, the original one, yes. Yeah.
And how is recording that series so far? You've been posting on your YouTube channel?
I've been playing Code Veronica. So that is Claire's Redfield story after Resident Evil, the raccoon incident, city raccoon, you know, that incident.
And then,
I'm mostly playing Rule of Rose. So if you watch that, that's an interesting game. That's not even a Resident Evil game, but it's part of the Herbs and Ammo series now, only because I'm playing survival games that have anything that has medical supplies or ammo. Or weapons, I guess, because Rose of Rules does not have a weapon. Well, she does, but she doesn't have a bullet or anything like that. What I've seen, I haven't seen any guns in the game, so there's no ammo, of course. And then I extended that series more into like survival horror more. It's kind of silly, but yeah.
Can you tell us again, what was the name of that?
Rule of Rose. It's a PS2 game.
What's the name of your podcast series where you... Is it this?
Herbs and Ammo.
Yes, that's okay. Exactly. I don't have no control of that anymore. So yeah,
I'm on the controlling board today. Yeah. That's cool to see. Other than that, is there anything else? Life is just living life and whatnot.
Yeah,
cool.
Stressful.
Yeah. If you didn't know, we haven't been recording the past like several months. I have news for the listeners. I am a father of one.
What?
Yeah.
Just finding this out right now. Yeah. I didn't know you were a father.
I know. That's how long John and I hasn't been talking. I had to record this episode to let him know. But yeah.
Oh, wow. So I'm an uncle again.
Yeah, your uncle for the 10th time. Or no, you're not including your children.
Unless something weird happens. Eighth time. Congratulations.
No, thank you. Yeah, we've been, he's 3 months old, so we've been living that life of parenthood. It's been great so far. It's fun to see him laugh and giggle, but also fun to see him, you know, just doing his thing and observing the world. You kind of don't, you always forget like kids that, or babies in that sense, is they're taking in everything. So everything's new to them. So when they cry because, you know, there's things, reasons why.
Yeah.
But it's been
a delight. It's the only way to communicate.
Yes, yeah. But it's been a delight and we're doing fine. Also, I just want to do some little bit of housekeeping. As you know, if you try to Google or type in the freakingawesome.com, it's not working anymore. This because our...
It is. .com is. It should go straight to the...
I think it's just taking a while.
Patreon.
Probably is going straight to
the Patreon. Freakingawesome.com goes straight to the Patreon.
Okay, so it does work, but other stuff doesn't work. Like, you can't listen to old episodes.
No.
Because we don't have a server at the moment. And I think we're going to upload this onto the Patreon server. I'm going to try to figure all that out.
Yes.
The
one that we used to use is bad. It's something that went through GoDaddy, and then it was there for a good while, but then something happened where to the point where we can't use it anymore.
Yes. We'll figure everything out and we'll let you guys know up in the coming weeks. Other than that, you could just go straight to our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/thefreakingawesome. This is freaking without the G. So it's the freaking awesome. And you can find older episodes there, or you could become a patron. No less than $1 per month, which will help us with the cost of running the podcast. You know, so we could watch the movies we want to watch and play with the video games you want us to play. And we get to talk about it. Other than that, I think that's it for housekeeping. Let's go straight to the trailer talk.
You keep dancing with the devil. One day he's gonna follow you home.
That is a clip of this week's trailer, which is Sinners, written, directed, and produced by Ryan Coogler, starring Michael B. Jordan and Hailee Steinfeld. This is the plot synopsis on IMDb. Trying to leave their troubled lives behind, two brothers return to their hometown to start again, only to discover that an even greater evil is waiting to welcome them back. This movie is the probably like fifth time Ryan Coogler and Michael B. Jordan work together. They're like the new, you know, Scorsese and Robert De Niro, Scorsese DiCaprio, where you take a director and a star and you just have dozens of movies together, which
M.
is
Night,
a
with
yeah.
M. Night,
no, oh, yeah, M. Night, and
with M. Night,
with the other M. Nights, is that what you're trying to say? Yeah. But which is great because it's also kind of cool to see these two grow. They grew together so much in the business since Fruitvale Station, which is their inception when they worked together. Then they created Creed, then Black Panther, the Black Panther Wakanda Forever, which he's. Michael B. Jordan, I think, starred a little in there.
Spoilers.
And then now you have Sinners, which is like a original story from Ryan Coogler. He has says that this is a movie about vampires. So you get a vampire movie next year. more vampire movies. Yes. But John, what's your thoughts of the trailer? Which is a good trailer because it doesn't really spoil anything.
Yes. So I've been a fan since you showed me and told me about Fruitvale Station of these two and then all the other films that you mentioned. They work really well together. And I like that Coogler is branching off to more horror. And it's like, oh, this is really cool. Like, I always saw like Fruitvale is his indie darling and Creed is his sports. And then, you know, Marvel stuff is all superhero,
which were both established IPs too.
Those two, and then now he's Fruitvale is based on a real thing, so this is, I don't know if this is his most original idea. I'm looking forward to that, and just the duel of them two together, and then just seeing the clip, it reminds me, it's that itch that since what's that HBO show, something country,
Lovecraft Country,
yeah. Where that itch of like Black Americans fighting in the sci-fi 1940s.
Horror, is that you mean?
Yeah, like, horror, yeah. Horror. Oh yeah. Yeah, sorry, horror. Is it 1940s, right? Or
around, I think so. Around that
era where, you know, the South,
Jim Crow,
all that stuff, and then to Sundown have it towns. Here. Yep, yeah. And then you have. there's like just visually just seeing that one scene in the trailer where everyone gets a weapon and like, oh, that's cool. they just like line up waiting for the vampires to come in to take over that building, and then just like already it's like a really cool scene that you don't see, like you don't see that much, because mostly these type of films are like white protagonists doing it. So it's like nice to see it. And then I didn't even know what her name was in it.
Hayley Steinfeld.
Yeah, yeah. They don't show her at all. It's mostly
They do in one scene. She's wearing a dress when they're at a party.
Watch that. Yeah.
It's very. It's not like, you know. It's kind of dimmed, so it's pretty hard to see her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's in there like 1 second.
it's a two Marvel heroes.
Yes, yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I wish it came out on Halloween. I know this is still next month, next year. In March, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, yeah, just spread, I guess, the horror stuff around all year.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. I'm a huge Ryan Coogler fan. I think folks know I graduated from Sac State in the film program. He didn't necessarily go to that film program, but he took classes there that actually made him want to take more film classes once he went to believe San Francisco State, and then that's where he started. University of Southern California, that's where he went to. He got his master's there, USC for film, but he got his, like, I think he had business for Sac State. He's well known in the college, like few of my college professors in the film program know of him and know him. He actually did an interview there when Fruitvale Station premiered. I think he had like a little premiere there too, just to give back to Sac State, because that was like his stomping grounds when it comes to filmmaking. But enough about him. I'm a huge fan. He's like an inspiration to me. And I'm a huge fan of Michael B. Jordan. I've seen him since he was a kid, literally, from The Wire. So seeing these two folks grow together and making this incredible looking film, I'm interested, because it's a genre film that you don't really get as enough, especially in the Black American perspective. So it's going to be nice to see this. What I do like is that he's bringing back his like unusual suspects when it comes to his film crew, like his cinematographer, his costume designer, the person that's doing the music, all comes from, you know, from the Creed to the, you know, Black Panther, a couple of them came from like Fruitvale Station. So it's like kind of cool that he's keeping that crew together. And you could expect what type of film this is going to be. If you love those other four films, yeah, you most likely get the same result.
He also got the music part of it.
Yeah, that's Ludwig. What's his name? Göransson. Göransson, mm-hmm. Who used to be Charles Gambino's.
Okay.
But yeah,
the
visually
music on that trailer is really
good. Yes, yeah. Visually, this is like a really cool, like it feels like something you haven't seen before in this genre. So that's what I think we're looking forward to. And if, you know, if Blade never is going to happen, this is the closest you will get to a vampire.
In the very ending, you get a fast forward of Steve Rogers, like, I heard that you hunt vampires.
Yeah,
like,
to Michael B. Jordan. And he reveals his name is like Jonathan Blade.
Yeah.
I actually don't know. What's Blade's real name? Actually?
No. He gets his stuff from like a area, and then the woman says, like, you should use your real name. It's like, what? Jonathan Blade.
Wait, what is his real name? I don't think it's Jonathan Blade.
No.
Let me just do a fast. Eric Brooks. That's his name. I feel like Jonathan Blade would be kind of cool. But yeah, looking forward. March 7th, we might do an episode about that and when that movie comes out.
We need a guest who knows about vampires.
Yes, yeah. I could probably get one.
Snipes,
yeah, at least Snipes. I could probably get someone who's into horror.
Trick him in thinking that we're Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. Me and you are, we're stacked on these people on our shoulders.
Oh, yeah.
With a trench coat. We're not that short.
So I was like, I guess we'll be super tall, Ryan Reynolds.
So moving forward, it is our weekly roundup. I keep on forgetting that you don't have to press the button, because like there's a there's like a button on this controller.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeehaw. So I'll start with you, John. What have you been doing this week, if you are doing anything?
So there was a game that dropped earlier this year called Balatro.
Yeah, I've heard of this.
It's a poker theme, like roguelike game. If you know roguelikes, you basically make a build in any genre of game. So roguelikes are, if you're not familiar, you basically play a game, then you play whatever type of game platform, in this case a card game, and if you lose, whatever you get from that thing you can like build up later on. It's like whatever run you did. So like saying you're playing Mario, you get mushrooms, and you die and you have to start all over again to the very beginning, but you get those mushrooms later on. And it's all about just replaying the game until you get better and better, because you get all these items and whatnot and open all more stuff. This one's a poker theme one, straight poker, Ben, like, you know, three of a kind.
Yeah.
Full house is three of a kind with a pair. Straights are all the numbers or letters are all together, and flush is all the symbols all together, if you know just basic poker. But then you add like a deck building element to it. So like each card you can change to something that will help you in the next run. The whole thing, you have to, Balatro, you have to try to defeat the house. So you have to hit a certain amount of score. And if you do hit that score, you beat the house. And in doing so, you get money from it. And it's not a lot of money. You get like $3, $5. But the more you build more money, the more decks you can buy and better cards you can get. And then there's a card for the Joker that helps you in the run that like multiple your score. So it's like, if you have one card, this is just an example. It's not, I don't know if this card actually exists. Well, this card does exist. It's one of the card is a Joker card where if you get a pair, they multiply your points by 4. So your whole mindset of playing the game now is just get pairs and pairs and pairs. So you get multiple your score by 4. So when the house has like a score of 1,000, it's easier to get to that score because all the cards are face value of what they have. So like if you're familiar with blackjack, like the face cards are like tens, right? The ace to J, king and queen are tens, and then everything else is by their number. So like 10 to 2, so like 10 points, 9 points, and so on and so on. But if you have a multiplayer, then you can like times that by how much you can get, and then your score will get better. I hope that's explaining. It's a lot. It's a lot going on in this game.
No, I think you're making sense. Yeah. I feel like if you know poker,
yeah, and roguelikes, if you just combine those two,
yeah,
and then combine, or so it came out earlier this year. I never played it until it came on iOS for free, if you subscribe to Apple Arcade. So I started playing it, and it's highly addicting. It's like it literally just came out this week, and then I'm still, there's parts of me, the music is very just like a slot machine music, or that sound you hear in casino. It's the same sound you just hear and hear, but you're so used to it. But when you get better at something, it makes it like ding, 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 like, you know, like the sound of that reward system. And then you like keep on playing, and then you strategize like, oh, my next run, I should probably try to get this card if it shows up, basically. And then there's like cards I was like, oh, I can defeat the house if I only had this card. And then when it did show up, I was like, oh, I can defeat it. But then you only can use it so far to the point where like it would be gone, because there's like a descriptive of that card where like if you use it past 4 turns, it's gone. So it's gone, basically. But yeah, I've been just playing this game. It was created by Local Thunk. I think that's how you say that thing, the developer. But it's very visually just like not even 8-bit, like 16-bit, 32-bit type game. Not too much going on. It's just literally your poker hand, and you're just going against the house, and these Joker cards are just everywhere that you can add up, basically. And then yeah, I say go check it out. I don't actually know how much is this game, if you do need to buy it.
I don't know how much is this. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to look at it now. But
yeah, right now, like I said, it's free if you're an Apple subscriber. It looks like $15 on Steam.
Yes, it looks like $15 across everywhere.
Okay, I'm assuming with the phone Nintendo. Too. I wonder if it's like,
free on your iOS.
Okay, yes, yeah.
You're right? You said that's how you got it, right?
If you're an Apple Arcade. If
yeah, subscribed yeah, yeah. To Apple Arcade, it's free. Online, so. Well, I might download this now.
Yeah, you can play it on your desktop. That's where I've been playing it now. And best part, of course, it saves travel. So that's the best part of it.
Cool. That's Balatro. Did it say how they got the name? Is that like a mixture of words?
No, I actually don't know what that means, actually. Yeah. It's these type of games where like, oh, I'm just going, oh, here. An incident in Rome. Professor Jester or Buffoon. Okay.
Oh, that's why there's the gesture.
The Joker.
What's cool, isn't it? You could choose what type of design.
Yes, yeah. So there's like there's various Jokers that will do different things. You can have like up to 5 of them. And then you open like packs, like card packs.
Yeah, yeah.
And then those are the things you purchase with money. Not real money, but in-game money. And those have different cards, like what I was saying earlier, that will help you in your run.
Cool. Yeah. So I encourage folks, if you have iOS, this is a really cool game. Also, it's kind of addicting, but also, you know, it's fun too. But yeah, that's Balatro on iOS, and it's about $15 on other platforms. I'm going to quickly say I watched a movie on Netflix that came out during a Native American Day on Friday. Is Rez Ball. You haven't had a chance to watch this yet.
No, I saw the trailer, and then it was like when I first saw the trailer, I was like, "Oh, this seems like something like Reservation Dogs," and then from the creator Reservation Dogs.
Yeah.
Okay, it's literally like it's the comedy drama of it. I was like, "Oh, that's kind of cool." Like they,
yes,
yeah. And then if you haven't seen the trailer, it's there's a similar story beat that happened in Reservation Dogs that in the trailer they show right away. I was like, okay.
Yeah, so yeah, like John said, it's co-written by Sterling Harrow, who is the creator of Reservation Dogs. This is written and co-written by, directed and co-written by Sydney Freeland. I don't know if it's her first film, but she did an incredible job here. It's starring Jessica Mattin, Julia Jones, and Amber Midthunder, which everyone knows her from Prey. She was the
Agnes
in Prey. She plays a minor role here, but you could tell. Yeah, you quickly knew who she was when you see her without the makeup and whatnot from Prey, which is another movie I recommend too. So this movie is somewhat based on real events, but not necessarily like it's not a true story. Like this didn't actually happen, but. It's based on a book, I remember. I'm trying to remember what's the name of the book. Canyon Dreams by Michael Powell, which came out a couple of years ago. But it's about this team, a high school team from New Mexico, who are predominantly all Native American. They're called the Chuska Warriors. And it's like, you know, it's basically, I don't want to use this term, but it is like that term I would use to describe this, like by the number sports movie when it comes to like a high school team, where there's the beginning, you see them, you know, as you see their dynamic, and then something happens that will, alter that dynamic. And then, you know, then you bring someone new in, and then, you know, there's like, you know, then the dynamic is broken up again because they don't feel like they could win again, and you know, so there's like all those.
This is Mighty Ducks, aren't you?
Yeah, it's a lot of that. You do get memorable characters like the Mighty Ducks, but I don't think. I wish it was more leaning towards like the '90s kids film, but this is I think the subject matters they deal with is more adult theme than anything, and I think it basically is. Is a tale that's been told in the Native American culture. It's been also like an issue, I guess you could say, that they've been having. I don't know if the trailer spoils what happens that will you know get these kids you know together again. But it's a great film, and you get to see these Native American actors do their thing. And if you love basketball, it's co-produced by LeBron James. So there's a lot of cool highlights. Like, I feel like the filmmaking in the basketball is better than I've ever seen in any other movie. It's very, you know, it has like a flow to it. Like, it understands how, like, these filmmakers know how basketball is being played. And what's cool is you get to hear plays there, like the, you know, horn action, where the Kings do a lot of that. If anything, the Kings do a lot of the Sacramento Kings when it comes to their gameplay. It's stylized after res ball. So res ball is a certain
what? Type I didn't of, even know that's a yeah. that's what you tell me. I didn't even know it's a thing. Yeah. Like,
so res ball is a certain type of play, not play, how to play basketball.
Yeah.
It's basically you have to score within 7 seconds. So
I thought res ball was like saying reservation. Like,
it is, it is reservation.
Oh, okay.
Ball, yeah. But it is, that's what you call it, their type of play, the gameplay they do. And it's basically you score within 7 seconds, so you could out tire the other team. So you tire the team, so they have to go back and forth all the time.
Oh, it is that. That is the Kings play.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what Mike Brown, the coach of the Sacramento Kings, they like that fast action play. But yeah, you see you see a lot of that here. But yeah, go out Netflix if you have if you subscribe to Netflix. Highly recommend. It's about only like, you know, an hour and 30 to 40 minutes long, so it's not that long of a movie. I would say that it leans too much on the tropes of, like, you know, a sports movie, so you kind of figure out what's going to happen and it's very predictable. But I think these characters are well played and the performances are good enough where you don't mind it. You're just like, you by the end you're kind of inspired. You're like oh, let's go out there. But yeah, that is Res Ball on Netflix, out now. Highly recommend it. I forgot to mention what our main discussion, actually, on top of the podcast. Our main discussion, we're actually going to, you know, put together our freaking awesome list, you and I. We haven't done it yet, and it's ready. It's going to be August soon. So is it August? Yeah.
September.
October.
Over, yes.
Yeah. So we are recording this in September, just let everyone know, just in case. But yeah, let's start with the main discussion. Well, I don't think we have a theme song for memes, like a thing. But yeah, no. John, you go first in the main discussion.
Okay, so I'm adding this to the list. You know, our long list. Did we add anything earlier this year?
No, we didn't. We had a what's participating, and that's it.
Okay. I'm adding this one. This film came out early this year, and I just saw it now on HBO. It's called I Saw the TV Glow. It's written by Jane Schoenbrunn. I think that's how you pronounce her name. But I remember we did the. We did a trailer talk on this. If we didn't. I think one, the trailer is very like surreal, and then the movie is that a little bit, but not really. There's a lot going on. I think her last movie, I also watched her last movie, where the something world ends or something, the state fair. Oh man, I forgot the I watched
it. I think it is Where the World Ends something.
Yeah, it's prior to this. I watched it too. We're all going to the World's Fair. That's
yeah,
what
oh, yeah.
quick thing, that movie is super weird. I think I didn't understand it more. I probably need a second watch. It's almost in that Skinner Rink type of movie where it's like a lot's going on and a lot of things not going on. And then I have to figure out what's actually the themes of the movie. But it's that's a whole different discussion. But I saw the TV Glow is much, I don't want to say better, but I would say it's a much easier movie to understand. And to the point where I had like three different things going on in my mind, what's actually happening. I know one of them is something, I won't say what is it, but there are a lot of like personal things I know Jane said what the movie's about. And then also, if you're like a fan of A24, it's made by produced or distributed by A24 too. If I know there's like people who only watch A24 films, this is one of those films. But yeah, it stars Justin Smith and Bridget Lude Payne. I forgot how they say their name. Justin Smith, if everyone knows, he's from Pokemon. And Dungeons and Dragons from last year. Really good.
Bridget, that's actually, I think that's 2 years ago.
Yes. Like, yeah. Bridget played the daughter of Keanu Reeves. They basically, they're really good in this film too. Both of them are really good in this film. It's the whole point is like, the whole story is that they were both kids and they were obsessed with this one TV show called Pink Opal. And then Pink Opal was like a Monster of the Week type show. Both of them get really into it. Bridget plays an older person. Oh, they're both in high school, but played an older person by like 2 years. Justin Smith was like a little bit younger. And basically they took Justin Smith's character in under their wing and then helped them grow with the TV show. I have this fond memory of like, not fond memory, but like, well, a memory of like watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer and all that stuff. I didn't really watch, what do you call that? X-Files more. I watched Buffy more. And then I watched a little bit Angel and stuff like that. And then this show would probably categorize those two things as girl shows when I think about it, only because they're like, towards like the CW thing, right? It's a CW crowd, because when you watch the show for Opal or Pink Opal, it's similar to that. It's like these two girls who are solving mysteries and cases, but it has this like, are you afraid of the dark type appeal to it? But when you they make fun of, that's like the father of Justin Smith makes fun of him because he always says, oh, those are girl shows and whatnot. And then when you actually see it, it's like, oh wait, those are just like any other like Monster of the Week type show. Yes, the protagonists are women, but still, like or teenage girls, but still, it's like it's weird. But they play around with that too. So it plays with nostalgia too a lot. What you remember before is might not what you think you know today. Like it might be not nostalgia in the sense of media, but even nostalgia of a sense of identity, I would say. And then it's interesting the way they play off of that, of that theme of this movie. I think everyone should watch this. It is a particular taste of movie. A lot of like dialogue, monologues, right? When they talk a long time, there's a lot of monologue in here and a lot of like dialogue in which Justin Smith character will be like directly talking to you in breaking the fourth wall. So if you're not like, if you don't like that type of stuff, like, oh, it takes you out because now they're talking to the audience. It's this type of movie. But I say visually and everything else is really good. There are moments here I had like emotional beat of like, oh, that I it's one of those films where like, oh, I realized something about myself, about how I feel about certain things in this movie. And also it's one of these films I had to like go deep dive into YouTube because I had a whole different interpretation of the movie than what the director wanted of the movie. And then realizing other people had the same interpretation. And then there's like three different ways you can look at this movie is really cool. It almost reminds me, I don't want to say this is like the Donnie Darko of this year, this era. Oh, no.
Yeah.
But I had to rewatch Donnie Darko because when I was similar to this movie, like I have fond memories of Donnie Darko. Like I liked the movie when it first came out. I don't know how I feel now about that. Similar to this movie, that those the characters in this film movie, played by Justin Smith and Bridget, they have fond memories of that TV show they think. But when you look back at it, what are those memories? Is it connected to the relationship they had, or is it directly to that TV show? You know what I'm talking about? So I actually don't know, because in that time I was in that, I think you two were in the era, like, we're watching every type of movie, Battle Royale, the every Christopher Nolan early films, like that black and white one, I forget. I think I watched with you, but I don't remember. But it's like those type of things, like, oh, Memento is that thing that kicks off Christopher Nolan. But I'm saying, like, all those indie films that you watch back to back from, like, oh man, what's the one with Marlon Wayans and then he's a drug addict? I totally forgot the film. But it's in that era of filmmaking where it's like a lot of indie experimental film, and then you look back, was it good, or is it just the moments that you had, that how you were like hitting each one of them back to back and say, oh, this is really good, oh, I understand, like all this stuff, and then looking back, was it really good, or was it just the nostalgia of that feeling you had? But yeah, I say everyone should watch this. I saw the TV glow right now. It's playing Max right now, HBO Max. Maybe it will be renamed HBO soon. I don't know, but it's on Max right now. If you're a subscriber, but yeah. And then I was, before the episode started, I realized Fred Durst is in this film. Figure out who's Fred Durst if you watch this film. I didn't even realize that's Fred Durst until I read the name.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm a fan of her last film, We're All Something with the World's Fair. I'm sorry. I felt like very choppy about the title. Mm-hmm. But I remember watching this trailer, I was like, oh yeah, this looks good. Like, so I'm looking forward. I think it's one of those movies where I have to be in the mood.
Yep, yeah.
To watch it. But yeah, that is... I saw the TV glow now on Max. Here's another film that's on Max, and you go actually watch the whole probably saga of it. It's free.
Wait, let me guess. It's Twilight.
No. That's actually saga. On Max too. That's on Max. it's Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. For those who don't know, this
is that really called that? I didn't know that.
I don't think the Mad Max saga is on the actual movie.
Wait, how do you say that word?
Saga.
Saga, okay.
Yeah, saga.
Saga. I say saga.
Like saga. H. Like Gaga, but with a S.
We should put this on our YouTube. Is it saga? Like like A-H, or saga with a H-A? Never
mind. Well, you could do it and tell me what it is. But yeah, for those who don't know, this is a prequel to probably like the most well-known like post-apocalyptic film franchise ever made. Like, what else? I mean,
that's
probably,
true. Yeah. I didn't realize that until you said that.
Because like you could probably say what do you call Hunger Games is probably there a close second, and The Maze Runner is another one that people liked. But this is written, directed, and produced by George Miller, of course. It is a it's a prequel to the character he created in the last Fury Road movie he made a couple several years ago, actually. And this is starring Anya Taylor-Joy and Alina Browne as the young version of Furiosa. And then you have Chris Hemsworth as the antagonist. I forgot his name. It's a ridiculous name again. but yeah, it is on Max. If you do love Fury Road, the reason why I'm adding it to this is because it has the same, a high octane, great action than with Fury Road. But this one is a little bit more personal because you're following Furiosa, so the story's a little bit more personal towards her. And I say I feel like it's a little bit better than a Fury Road. I think Fury Road is fine. It's a great movie. It's one of the movies I love. But I think Furiosa, storytelling-wise, is a better movie. I think this has what people believe what Fury Road was supposed to be. I think this is the movie that is what I wanted Fury Road to be. But you wouldn't have the other without this one. So... you won't have this one without the other one, I meant to say. So I would say, like, go out there if you have time. And if you're a fan of Fury Road, watch this. I think Anya Taylor-Joy does a really great version of Furiosa that is unrecognizable, kind of. Like, it's seamless. Like, you could go, the next movie is basically Fury Road in this franchise. So I would recommend. I think what's also great is that Chris Hemsworth gets to ham it up. It's in this movie, so he's a little bit more eccentric than his Thor or his other movies, and I think that's fine. I think he's fun in this movie.
Finally uses his real accent.
yeah, he does actually. And what's cool also this protagonist is probably an antagonist. It's, but you kind of feel bad for him in the end.
Because you kind of
understand why what he's going through too.
Yep,
And it's because of the wasteland that's like, you know, is basically creating these harsh realities for them.
Is
it called the wasteland? I always forget the name of this.
I forget too.
I want to say it's wasteland just because it's just so easy to say.
I think this film also explains the world better. I mean, in the sense of like, they show a lot of things. They don't explain like this happened on thing when D-Day or like the stuff. They don't say it, but
yeah,
you visually see like, oh, this has actually happened here, and this is here. And then they connect a lot of the things together that I didn't realize from the Mad Max one. Fury Road. Is it Fury Road? Yeah.
Because the Mel Gibson Mad Max is the thing that's remarkably different from these ones is that those were more grounded. If you ever watch those movies, you could tell
they go to like buildings. Like,
yeah. And you like can tell these are like, you know, from Australia, lands, desert land. So that's like this time you can't tell. Like, I mean, it's probably filmed there still, but it's a little bit more, you know, the colors are more popping this time around, and it's a little bit more detailed, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Furiosa, a Mad Max saga. John, what are you going to add to the list?
So my last thing I'll add to the list is a film I had anticipating the whole year, and it didn't disappoint. Starring Maika Monroe as the famous Lee Harker FBI
famous. So you're thinking that they're gonna span a
spin-off. The Lee Harker during the Clinton era presidency. I'm talking about Long Legs. Also stars Nicolas Cage too. It's a really good thriller. It's one of my favorite films this year. They did a great job promoting this film. Neon did through all the marketing with Twitter and whatnot, with just like glimpses of what the film might be. And it's nothing what you thought it was. There was like a lot of hype of how like Nicolas Cage will look in this film. And I didn't even know he was in this film until like later on. And until people were like, oh yeah, it's Nicolas Cage. It won't like surprise you of how he looks, but I think his performance is really fun. It's one of those performances like, oh yeah, he has makeup on and all this stuff, and he's really just being this weird little character that's terrorizing Lee Harker throughout the film. It's nothing like you've seen before. I mean, it has elements of like Silence of the Lamb, I would say, more than anything, but it's nothing like that. It's more of a what do you call that type of thriller? I want to say like religious, but it's playing around that area more than you thought.
Yeah.
And then, I don't want to ruin what it's really about, but I want to say that everyone should watch this, just go in blind and see. And then there's some really unsettling stuff that happens in the film, and some interesting ideas I think I liked a lot. Some of it more predictable than others, but the ideas of what is, it just felt really different. And also, this is Oz Perkins' film. If you don't know, he's the son of Anthony Perkins, the psycho killer from the early years of Hollywood.
He's the one of the friends in Legally Blonde.
He's the tall looking.
He's the guy that people mistakenly think it's Will Ferrell.
But yeah, he's really good directing it and stuff like that. Watch it. long legs. And I didn't know why they call it long legs until someone explained it one time on the podcast. I was like, oh, it's like a film lingo. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I've never even, the whole time in the film, they don't tell you, well, there is a lot, they say the word long legs, but it's more than that. I was like, oh, okay.
I watched this during the maternity leave. So we had like our baby there and then we were watching it and it's all frightening.
Is your baby born on the 14th of any month?
No. Now you got me wondering. It's one of the best films I've watched this year. It could be, some people might overhype it, but I think it's one of those moves you have to be to really appreciate the movie. Like, it's, you can't expect it to be Silence of the Lambs, but you also can expect it to be like, you know, what's that Silence of the Lambs, those sequels that spawned off of the Red Dragon, like those movies. Yeah.
I think for me, it's like a combination of Hereditary and Silence of the Lambs. Like if you mush those.
I could see that. I think this is a less, this has more subtlety than all those movies. It's like you're filling in spaces. Like there's like canvases in here that you're like trying to fill in spaces just to make, you know what you're trying to what the characters, like the development of the characters, you're filling these spaces for them. So I really enjoyed the movie. But yeah, I think this is it on the streaming service. I feel like it's on Amazon or something right now. I think what's her name's performance is really great. Malika, I keep on saying Malika, but it's not Malika.
Makia Monroe.
Yeah.
And she's having a good year too, right?
Makia Monroe. Yes. Yeah.
I forget what other films I've seen her in. Oh, no. That good. Well, good horror films.
Yes.
She's in a lot of good horror. She's like the similar to like, what's her name?
Mia Goth.
Yeah, Jenna Ortega, Sam Weaver.
Yes, maybe.
All these like new generation scream girls. Like, oh, this is cool. Like, they just one after another, they're just doing other horror movies.
Yeah, because they're
Falls. She's in It Falls and The Guest.
Yeah.
And Watcher. So
it's like, and Independence Day, The Resurgence.
Oh, yeah, the biggest horror movie.
Yeah.
I like that movie.
Yeah, me too. She plays the daughter of, I don't know why they didn't get what's her name to.
President's daughter.
Yeah. But yeah, that's Long Legs. I want to say it's on Amazon. Why am I keep on thinking? I think I see it somewhere. Like it's like, oh, it's now streaming on
Scream Queens. That's what I meant to say. Not Scream Girl. I think I said Scream Girl.
Let me just make sure, where is it streaming? I guess it's not streaming anywhere right now. I guess I thought it
probably
was.
Probably you can buy?
I think because we did rent it. That's what happened. So I thought it was going to stream somewhere sooner. My last thing I'm going to add is from the Filipina American MC Rocky Rivera, her fifth album, solo album, Long Kiss Goodnight.
I didn't even know she had a fifth one.
Yeah, it came out this past week. For those who don't know, she resides from Frisco, aka the city, aka San Francisco, California. This album is her fifth album, but it's been a while since her last album. I think I want to say it's like 2016 or 17. I know it's been a while. Like I feel like it's 2018. Yeah, 2018 was her last album, Rocky's Revenge, which is a good album too. But this one gets a little bit more personal, I think, because she's growing up. She's, you know, heading into her mid 40s now, and she has a couple of kids. She's still rapping. You know, she's one of those rappers I love because she talks in her lyrics, and even outside of music, she is a activist. Her advocacy in social justice, and you know, both in about, you know, racism, she's against, you know, sexism, and she's all about woman empowerment, and she talks about like, you know, how San Francisco faces like gentrification, and there's all this stuff like systematic oppression, all the so if you love that type of rap music, I highly recommend her. She's part of the beat rock music, which is Bamboo. Her partner is Bamboo, is also, so she has kids with him too. And then there's what's cool.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So it makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Yeah. What's cool is like some of their children are in some of these songs. So like they're like, you know, they're in skits and whatnot. So you get to hear their voices in here. And, but yeah, this album, like I said, what's different about this album, she's actually working with exclusively with one producer. I think prior to that, she worked with like, you know, several producers, but this time she's only working with one producer, and that's Oteo Dub. He's an excellent producer. It harkens back to like, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, like independent music scene, the hip hop scene. So if you're into that type of music, highly recommend this. I think they have like a concert coming up, Island Room and Rise in LA, which will feature a lot of the beat rock music performers too. I highly recommend if you're in LA. I don't know what day is that. She talks about it on a podcast. But yeah, if you're in love with hip hop music, I highly recommend. It's Rocky Rivera along Kiss Goodnight. You can stream it anywhere from, you know, Spotify to iTunes. I think that's it. That's the four things that we're going to put on the list.
Then we have what, another 20?
Yeah, we do have another. I'm going to probably, even if you're not available, I'm going to probably put out like mini episodes here and there to fulfill the list. It could drop any day. It could drop any day.
So nice.
Yeah, it could drop on a Tuesday. I could probably do one every day. And it's, I'll probably ask some guests to drop a couple things too, what their freaking awesome things they like this year. So
you really should bring back, like, you know, Seer or Anthony or...
Yeah. I could bring them back.
Maybe, you know, Nino.
Once we figure out how to do this server thingy.
Oh, yeah. See,
yeah. Because I feel like we need to figure that out really quick. But that really quick, going through our list, it is Long Legs, I See the TV Glow, Furiosa, Mag Max Saga, and Rocky Rivera's Along Kiss Goodnight. The last one's an album. The first three are films. But yeah, that is... John, where they could find you before we leave?
You can watch me play Rule of Rose on datenightplays.com. It's a fun game. It's very not what I expected, but I'm trying to find a gun in that game.
You can find me on Instagram and Threads at Benjamin Baya. Threads has a very healthy community when it comes to like the NBA and WNBA communities and all film communities.
That's nice.
A lot of reaction from Threads. I don't know. I think because it's a new social media site. I made this ridiculous, you know, post one time and I got like over 200 plus reactions. I'm like, okay, this is...
That's the most you ever had since the Justin Bieber incident.
Yeah. I don't remember that.
Yeah, it was something you said about Justin Bieber, and then
that
all
had
the
to
Justin
be a
Bieber,
long time ago. Yeah.
Fans like liked it.
And yeah, like it was a Twitter. Comment. It was a Twitter thing.
Yeah.
At that time, that had to be like 2011 or something, 2010. Yeah. Or something.
But I remember you got thousands of.
Yeah. This is like when peak Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
We could find all the episodes on our Patreon at thefreakingawesome.com. Once you're there, you can subscribe to us, be a patron for no less than $1. Also, after we figure out everything out, I think because we don't have an email anymore, but we still have Instagram, we still have a Threads, we're still on X or Twitter.com at TFA Now.
Well, we do have a Gmail account. I don't know if you want to promote
Let's put that off the side right now. So we figure out. Let's see if we could get something with that. Somehow with something. But yeah. Thank you again to all the listeners. Apologize if it's been a while. Thank you to CRC Chow for producing. And thank you for John. I'm going to edit this episode, but thank you, Josh.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Ben, for editing the episode.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'm Benjamin Abaya.
I'm John Abaya.
And this has been the Freaking Awesome.